We're looking at the book of 1 John when we don't have special days. And so 1 John chapter 2, a great statement about the world and being separated from the world. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John, instead of teaching something and moving on and teaching something else and moving on and teaching something else, we've talked about, it's like a tapestry. There are thoughts and ideas woven all the way through the five chapters. And we traced it through with the five times in 1 John where it says, if you're born of God, you'll do this. If you're born of God, you'll do that. Verses 1 and 2, experiencing the light of God. Verses 3 and 4, experiencing the love of God. And chapter 5, experiencing the life of God. In fact, if you're counseling somebody, they have a real problem with accepting themselves and loving themselves and forgiving themselves, one of the prescriptions you can write is read the book of 1 John every day, because you can read it in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And 32 times in five chapters, it talks about God loving us. In fact, one of the verses is, God is love. So, you know, when you read Love Not the World, you have to ask the question, well, why not? What's wrong with the world? 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the whole world. So Jesus died for the world, so what's wrong with the world? In fact, John, when he wrote the Gospel of John, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God loves the world, so why aren't we supposed to love the world? Those are good questions. If you look at verse 15, the first half, you have the danger stated. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Second half of that verse, you have the danger contrasted. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, the first half, you have the danger described. For all that is in the world, and there are basically three temptations, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And then you have the danger faced in the second part of that verse is not of the Father, but is of the world. And verse 17, how to avert that danger. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Love not the world. They ask J. Wilbur Chapman, famous pastor in the 1900s, what do you consider a good rule for living? And he said this, this rule governs my life. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work more difficult is wrong for me. And if I must be a Christian, I must turn away from it. V. Raymond Edmond, who was president of Wheaton College, the world is a spirit and is expressed in things. It defies the exact definition because it is a spirit. Closest working definition I have found is that of John Wesley. John Wesley said, whatever cools my love for Jesus is the world. So I want to talk about four things this morning. First of all, I want to talk about what the world is, then I want to talk about what the world does, then I want to talk about where the world is going, and then what we're supposed to be doing. So first of all, what the world is. The word here, world, is cosmos. It's a Greek word. It means a set order, but it doesn't refer to the created world that God made. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God looked at the world he made and said it was good, so why aren't we supposed to love it? Well, that's not the world John's talking about. The material universe, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, the material world that we look at, in fact, that's where we get the argument from intelligent design. The most famous atheist of the 20th century was Thomas J.J. Altheiser. And he wrote a book called Why I Don't Believe in God. But as he studied the world and studied the universe and studied astronomy, he decided there was intelligent design in the world and the universe. And if there was design, there must have been a designer. So he came to believe in God. So where he'd written a book called Why I Don't Believe in God, he wrote a new book right before he died about 15 years ago called Why I Don't, with the don't crossed out, believe in God. Why I Do Believe in God. Thomas J.J. Altheiser. Also, the world is not human beings. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What world? The world of people. God loves us. Jeremiah 33:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so that's not the world that John's talking about here. Now, we talk about the world of sports. There's a sort of important game tomorrow night. Some of you are aware of that. The world of sports, that's all the arrangements of things about sports that go on in the sports world. We talk about the world of finance. The world of finance, buying, selling, trading, investing, financing. Tangible property, intangible property. And if you don't know what that is, you probably don't have any of that, okay? But tangible and intangible property. All that is the world of finance, everything that pertains to finance, okay? But then you have the world of Satan. Everything that the devil rules, everything the devil controls, the whole arrangement of things that promote the devil, the whole system that wants to capture our hearts and to keep us from doing what's right in the name of God. John 14:30 says, the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. The devil is the prince of this world. Since Adam sinned, Adam was supposed to rule the world. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, God told Adam and Eve. Well, the be fruitful and multiply is the only command they've never broken, okay? But yeah, when Adam sinned, the devil became the prince of this world. Ephesians 2:20, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. 1 John 5:19, we know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in darkness. What's the world? The world is all of that that's under Satan's dominion. Now, when we talk about loving the world, a great Puritan asked one time, how can we love something that crucified Jesus? How can someone who claims to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, love something that crucified Christ? That's what the world did. The world killed Jesus. Premeditated murder. Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What the world is? Number two, what the world does. Look at verse 15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does the world do? Verse 15, it robs me of God's love for me. Okay? Does God ever stop loving us? No. Does God ever stop loving what we do? Yeah, when we do stuff he doesn't want us to do. Verse 16. And he gives the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world that hinders me from doing God's will. What does God want us to do? God's not done with anybody yet. We're still alive. God's not done anything with us, that he's got more plans for the future. The world is something that keeps us from enjoying God's love. It keeps us from doing God's will. If it does, then it's worldly. Someone wrote a little poem one time about this. Those of you that enjoy fishing or enjoy taking cruises, you'll understand. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never sink a ship unless it got inside. And all the evil in the world, the wickedness and sin can never sink a soul's craft unless it gets inside. Boat's okay unless the water gets in. Now, when you do a word study of the world in the New Testament, there are four downhill sliding steps when it talks about the world. First of all, it talks about people being friends with the world. James 4:4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You know, there was someone at a church social, and they were talking about their pastor, said, oh, he's a good mixer. Well, God doesn't want us to be mixers. God wants us to be separators. God wants us to be separated, not from people, but from evil. Wow. Now, there's friendship with the world, but then it gets worse. People become spotted by the world. James 1:27, true religion is to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Last verse of James chapter 1. Friendship with the world, spotted by the world, loving the world. This verse, love not the world, neither the things thereof. And then the last step is being conformed to the world. Romans 2:12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may have that which is the will of God. In fact, the Phillips translation, okay? You know J.B. Phillips translation? Anyone ever read that? When he gets the Old Testament done, they're going to call it Phillips 66, okay? The Phillips translation, be not conformed to this world. J.B. Phillips translated that in the 1960s. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And boy, does it try. Look at Lot. The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 13:12. Then in verse 14, Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, and boy, it looked good to Lot. So what we find in Genesis 14:12, Lot moved into Sodom and Gomorrah and started living in it. He looked toward it, he saw it, he wanted it, he moved right into it like a pig to slop. Yeah, Lot. Now, these are the same three temptations that Jesus went through in Luke chapter 4. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, lust of the flesh. All the kingdoms of the world I will give unto you if you bow down and worship me, lust of the eyes. Cast thyself from the pinnacle of the temple, an angel shall deliver you, the pride of life. Make a big show and get a big following. Those are the three temptations of Jesus. They fall into those same three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Well, there are several examples in the Bible. But the desire to have, we never have enough. We never get enough. Get all you can and can all you get. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Oh, that looks good to me. Oh, I like that. Looks good. I want it. I see it. I want it. Lust of the eyes. The desire to see. And then the desire to be. Oh, I want the attention. I want to be important. I want to be the leader. I want to be on the news. The pride of life. People that want to be the center of attention. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What the world does. There was a native evangelist in Portuguese West Africa that to the Dandi tribe. His name was Capitango Kusita. Okay, that's close enough. You don't know any better. And I could totally mess it up. You wouldn't know the difference. He was trying to share with them the gospel that there's a broad way and a straight, narrow way. And he just wasn't getting through. He could tell that, you know, the light wasn't coming on. And he says, okay, a dog walked by the campfire while he's trying to talk to them about the Bible. He says, okay, how many legs does a dog have? And they said, four. Which is the right answer, okay? And he said, well, Have you ever seen a dog with four legs try to walk on two different paths at the same time? They said, oh, no. I said, then why do you try to walk with two legs on two different paths at the same time? There's a right path and a wrong path. There's a path that leads to heaven. There's a path that leads to hell. You only got two legs. A dog's smarter than you. Of course, Will Rogers says horses are smarter than people. Horses never bet on people. Yeah. Now, what do we counter the pressure of the world with? We counter the pressure on the outside with the pressure on the inside. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what turns the power on? Loving Jesus, being submitted to Jesus. Now, what the world is, what the world does, where the world is going. Verse 17. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hebrews 11:25 says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You know, if there wasn't any pleasure in sin, nobody would do it. The Bible is very honest about the fact there is pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But contrast that with Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can see the temporary things of this world. We can't see the eternal things. We live by faith. Hebrews 11 talks a lot about that. Hebrews 11:8 through 10 talks about Abraham. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. Abraham, we can't see the eternal. It talks about Moses, Hebrews 11:24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's where that verse comes from. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Vance Havner said one time, Moses saw the invisible, chose the imperishable, and did the impossible. And he did. Hebrews 12:28 says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed. The firstborn should touch them. Through faith, he kept the Passover. There was a story one time about a group of men building a road, and they were singing, and they were building, and they were getting paid well. And one of them said to the foreman, where's this road going to? And the foreman said, I don't know. Let me go check it out. So he came back and said, this road's not going anywhere. The budget, it's the end of the budget year, and we got to use up all the money in our budget, or they won't give us as much next year, so we got to work extra and build something and use the money. And you know how the government works and government contracts work. Got to use all the money in the contract, or you don't get as much money in the contract next year. And the men quit singing, and they laid their tools down, and they walked away, because nobody wants to build a road to nowhere. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, talked about an old country preacher that preached on Genesis 3:9. Genesis 3:9 is the question, Adam, where art thou? And this old guy didn't have much education, but this were his 3 points in his sermon. He said, number one, every man got to be somewhere. Number two, some men are where they ought not to be. And number three, those who are where they ought not to be are going to find themselves where they don't want to be. And that's the truth. Dr. Lee summed it up with this. The man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly is where he ought not to be, and he is destined to find himself where he does not want to be. what the world is, what the world does, where the world is going, and number four, what the world needs. We sing a hymn called "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. John 17, the great prayer chapter of Jesus. Some people call it Jesus' high priestly prayer. John chapter 17 says that we are out of the world. John 17, 5 and 6, where Jesus said, let me get over here. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We are out of the world, but we are in the world, verses 10 and 11. And all are mine, and thine are mine, and I glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Out of the world, but we're still in the world, but we're not of the world. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the word hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we're out of the world, but in the world, but not of the world, but sent into the world. John 17, 17 through 20. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. That's kind of the summary of where we are today, guys. We are out of the world, but we are in the world, but we are not of the world, but we are sent into the world. Remember, we don't have to understand it, we just have to believe it. A missionary was visiting a British outpost in Asia, and this was way out in the jungle. Hardly any Europeans, just Asians in that whole country. And there was a British officer in a camp. And they went to visit him, and he said, let me invite you to supper tonight. And they showed up at his hut for supper, and there he was in his British dress uniform. And there was china, and there was crystal, and there were silver plate eating utensils. And they sat down and had a formal British seven-course meal that night. And the missionary kind of looked at him, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere. What's going on here? He said, well, I am out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm surrounded by foreign people, and I'm surrounded by foreign customs, and I'm surrounded by foreign ways of thinking, and I'm surrounded with foreign ways of doing things. But he says, I am an officer of the Queen, and I am a member of the British Empire, and I dress up and do this once a week to remind me of whose kingdom I really belong to. Once in a while, especially when we come to church, we need to be reminded that we belong to God's kingdom. We don't belong to the world. We are in the world, but not of the world, but sent into the world. Yeah, that we belong to God's kingdom, and we need to live it, and we need to be reminded of it, that we are separate from the world, but in the world. Jesus said in John 20, 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And our message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have to repent. You have to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he died for your sins. You need to accept him as your personal Savior. And if you've never done that, we're going to sing an invitation hymn this morning. Hymn number 298.